And welcome to the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are really happy to have you on board. And we just love doing the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z right here on Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And one reason is because we join a large group of shows that really focus on natural living and points of view that you may not hear anywhere else in the mainstream media, things that can really empower you to take action to help yourself, yourselves, and your family. And that has been myself and Dr. Zamperone's goal in life for probably all the years we're on the planet, which is getting to be a lot of years. If you go to naturalnurse.com and click on products and then books, you will see the vast array of books we have written. One is called Arthritis, the Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide, which gives an entire and complete protocol on how to cure, and I am using that word, which we don't use in conventional medicine very much. In conventional medicine, we just modulate or control. We do not cure too often. And this is Cure Arthritis. We have 40 real cases in that book. And cure means every symptom is gone and every blood work parameter is brought back to normal and stays that way for 5 years. So we're not just throwing that word around. We also have the Natural Medicine Chest, which talks about herbal medicine, including the chapter Herbs from the Shaman's Garden. And there are so many places that you can get excellent information. If you want to come and learn in person, I suggest you visit navalexpo.com. That's NAVELEXPO, navalexpo.com, because that organization brings you many of the guests that we have right here on the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And you can come and meet them in person to see if you would like to work with someone. Here's a way to meet them basically for free. Go to a lecture that they give, find out about them, feel the vibes of your compatibility with various physicians who are very well versed in functional medicine and natural healing techniques versus just the use of pharmaceutical drugs. And that includes today's guest, Dr. Sergey Kolotenko. Dr. Kolotenko has been helping patients throughout a long and distinguished career, first as an emergency care physician, then as head of a hyperbaric department at a highly respected hospital, and later as a board-certified physician in the United States. Dr. Kolotenko finds that conventional medicine often treats people as a collection of symptoms without finding the cause of those symptoms, which we're so committed to in natural medicine. His practice is based on holistic medicine, functional techniques, and anti-aging principles. He uses bioidentical hormone replacement as a keystone and specializes in alternative therapies for many issues, including cancer and Lyme disease. He uses IV therapy and is firmly committed to finding natural solutions to health problems. And his first step is to use his expert conventional and holistic diagnostic skills to get to the root of the problem. And his philosophy is that with a focus on wellness rather than illness. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Kolotenko.
Hello, how are you? And thank you for having me here. Hello, everybody. How are you?
And it's so wonderful that you're someone who's local because you have offices right in Brooklyn, New York, as well as Great Neck, New York, for those listeners who are local to the New York area.
Yes, yes, indeed. We have offices in Brooklyn and Long Island in Great Neck, which is very convenient for patients who are coming from Long Island or from Queens or from Brooklyn. So we try to accommodate different patients, and that's what we do.
Now, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go way back in time when you were a boy.
If you can, please.
Okay. Yeah. At what point did it dawn to your mind that you would like to be a physician for your life's work?
Oh, it was a long time ago, and my grandmother was sick, and she was diagnosed with a hematologic cancer, and we couldn't help her, and the whole new family was devastated, and we tried to do everything, but we couldn't save her. That's why, you know, I was thinking, what can I do? And I decided to devote my career to medical practice, so thinking that maybe in the future I can find the cure for cancer, and then just help other patients. I couldn't help my grandmother, but I thought that maybe in the future I could help other patients. That was the reason why I decided to go to the medical school and devote my life actually to medical career and try to do my best to find the root causes of the diseases. That's how it started, actually.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That's very motivational that you used a personal, unfortunately tragic experience, but you turned it into a really motivational tool to move forward, not only educate yourself, but put yourself in a position to be able to help so many others.
Yeah, but actually there was another reason, because I started having my own health issues, and I didn't have any choice but to solve my own medical problems. That was not, I was not able to solve my problems conventionally. That's why, you know, I was looking for the possible solutions I couldn't find with the traditional ways, and I found there was a different ways to look for that, to solve the medical problem. Actually, it was a very interesting experience because, you know, I was, as you know, I was trained as a traditional physician. I got the residency here. I started working as a physician at teaching hospital. I was teaching residents, you know, and just seeing inpatients, outpatients, and I was used to solve the problem. Like, you know, you have a diagnosis, you have a solution, you have a standard treatment, you have a protocol. And when I developed medical problem myself, so first I figured out that I don't want a treatment they suggested. And the second thing was that I didn't want the drug to control my life. Yeah, it was very simple. So, and that's why as soon as I realized that I don't want a conventional treatment, I don't want a drug to control my life, I figured out that, you know, the diagnosis, having a diagnosis is not enough. And I started looking for another solution. And
so at that point, you were already a trained conventional physician.
Yeah.
And you found that you weren't satisfied with the treatment options that were presented to you through the conventional medical model.
Exactly.
So where did you seek after that to find other answers? Because it seems to be blocked in terms of medical education.
It was a very painful process, to be honest with you. It was actually a horrible experience because I was devastated. They told me that I needed blood centers, you know, and I didn't want that because I knew exactly what kind of complications they might entail, and that was their problem. So I started thinking, what else can I do?
And where did you discover where else you could do? Because you don't usually discover that within the realms of conventional education.
Yes, and that was the reason actually why I started looking for, because I was found to have atrial fibrillation, irregular heartbeats, and there was no obvious reason for that. You know, I didn't have clogged arteries, I didn't have high blood pressure, my cholesterol was slightly elevated, but not that much. So there was no, from the conventional standpoint, there was no good reason to have such a problem. So I was thinking that maybe we should look deeper, and that actually made me think in a different way. So instead of just putting a label like irregular heartbeats or something else, we need to look for the root cause, because the question was in my mind, why do I have this? What is the root cause? And I realized that unless I figure out what the root cause is, I can't treat myself. That's what it was.
What a wonderful revelation. I actually think that should be the basis of medical education and is, of course, with naturopathic physicians, but not so much with conventional medical school, even though the evidence is there. It's really a shame.
Fortunately, it was my experience, and that's when I started. Actually, a friend gave me a hand, you know, and I have a friend, a doctor, who said that maybe you should look at your hormones and maybe you should look for some kind of root causes, you know, found that my hormones were not balanced, you know, and that was the turning point. So I realized that having a label, like irregular heartbeats or high blood pressure, that is not enough, and that there is a better way to solve this. Is to look for the root cause, fix the root cause, and then, you know, feel better. And that's how I started. I used this approach for myself. So I balanced my hormones. I just fixed my problems, you know. And that's why I started looking for other root causes, not for necessarily for irregular heartbeats, for the other diseases. And I remember one of the first time it was in my office. It was an interesting experience. Patient came to see me with a knee pain. She said, "Doc, give me pain medicine. And I said, "You need to get rid of carbohydrates, you know, sugar, potato, you know, bread and everything." And she said, "Doc, I came for medicine. I didn't come for the diet, you know."
Oh, how interesting, Dr. Kalatenko. What you're sharing is that then when you started to use your new knowledge that you thought would be helpful, people are saying, "No, I don't want that. I want drugs."
You're right. And I said, "How can I give you drugs? Because you're overweight. You need to lose your weight to get rid of arthritis." Pain management is not going to solve the problem.
Oh, my goodness. I know. Many doctors do tell me that they get pushback. But what happens is when you start to specialize like you do in functional medicine and natural techniques, don't you find more and more that is who comes to seek you out?
Yeah, it's the more information I got, the more reasons for the diseases of root causes we discovered, and turned out to be that it's much more advanced test than the regular blood tests. Because that's what I'm saying to my patients, that the conventional blood test may not be enough to discover your root cause. And it could be anywhere. You know, it's more art than science to explain how it works, because to address the root cause, I need to employ different methods, you know, not necessarily natural or alternative, but sometimes we use the MRIs, we use blood work, we use the digestive system test, we look for the good bacteria in the gut, we look for the bad bacteria in the gut, bacterial overgrowth, parasites, yeast, all those things. So the root cause could be different, could be mechanical problem, like, you know, like deviated septum or maybe teeth issues or something like that. But it's a process. It's not that simple, like 2 + 2 = 4.
That's right, because it's based on the individual patient. You might have the same symptom picture, and in conventional medicine, we treat with the symptom picture. We don't care at all about who has that. If it's a little girl, if it's a 300-pound man, they're going to get the same therapeutic agent or drug for that symptom, not even trying to figure out what's going on with that individual person.
Exactly. I agree with you 100% that what bothers me the most is that they give the numbers, the normals for the blood work. Supposedly somebody has a blood work. And it's the same thing for a 19-year-old girl and a 75-year-old female, you know. Can be the same.
Exactly.
That's the thing. It's every patient is unique. His own history, his own family history, you know, his lifestyle. There is no way the treatment can be the same for all the people, for all the people that are suffering from the same problem. Cannot be, because they're different.
Right, but unfortunately, with conventional medicine, it's been set up that the standards of practice are based strictly on the symptom picture, and it's got to be a quick in and out because, unfortunately, physicians who are working under a mainstream system are allowed 8 minutes. I doubt if you could evaluate a patient with complex issues as an individual in 8 minutes.
Well, you know what? Maybe you think that I'm slow, but you know, to be able to evaluate a patient, I need 1 hour or maybe 1.5 hours.
Right, and especially the first few times. Once they come back in because they're on their program, it may be shorter, but it's still not going to be 8 minutes. I mean, I just think that that has been an evolution of conventional medicine that is just horrible and really moves in the face of good care.
Well, I don't know why it happens, but the only thing I can tell you that I treat my patients differently.
Of course.
No such thing like 8 minutes visit in my office.
Now, I wonder if you know, I was the head nurse at a holistic center for almost 20 years, and the doctor who I was the nurse for was Dr. Serafina Corsello. And I'm wondering if you ever knew her. She had a beautiful holistic center right on 57th and 7th. A very big, giant place. And she really was the person who started ACAM along with Dr. Atkins. So we're going back in time. Mm-hmm. But our clinic was so amazing, and I worked with her for about 20 years in her office in Manhattan and Huntington, Long Island, because I'm sure what happens with you, too, is people actually get better.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Just a little bit. Not just like, my pain's a little bit less because I'm on all these pharmaceuticals, but now my stomach is bad, so I need another pharmaceutical. I mean, if they listen to your advice, there is a reversal of the disease process, which is measurable.
Well, it's sometimes quite easy. Sometimes it's not.
That's correct.
And I agree with you 100%.
No, absolutely. And of course, with more severe illnesses, some that you treat, like cancer, for instance, it would be great if you could say, okay, every time someone has cancer or this kind of cancer, if I do this, they become cancer-free, but not usually happening. Might happen, but not something that you can consistently rely on. But in terms of, let's say, chronic indigestion or skin allergies, things that people have that are very invasive in their wellness, you can often see complete reversal. Sometimes it takes a year or two of changing habits.
It's a lengthy process. What can I tell you? It takes a while because sometimes it can be fixed quickly. Let me give you an example.
Right, please do.
The girl came to see me because she had insomnia. She couldn't fall asleep. She was anxious. She couldn't attend college, because she couldn't concentrate. And just after examining her, I told her that you need to go to a dentist and remove the pus collection around your tooth.
And she's like, what? Why? You're not a dentist. Why are you telling her to do that?
No,
right?
Because, listen, look, I'm looking for everything. And take my word for that. So what happened was that several days later, she did what I said. In a few weeks, her symptoms resolved. So it was a quick solution. But sometimes, it takes a while. Let me give you another example. A guy came to see me, he had horrible headaches. He couldn't work. And we tried this, we tried that, we checked hormonal imbalance, we corrected the hormonal imbalance, nothing worked. So we looked for the toxicology profile showed the heavy metals increased burden, so we detoxified the guy. Guess what happened? Didn't work either.
Now, when you say you detoxified the guy, you have time here. Go into a little bit of what that might look like. You don't just snap your fingers and he's detoxified. What do you mean by that? You wish,
Detoxification is that it's a very tricky process. The reason for that is because usually we check for heavy metals in the blood, You know, we go by the normals, and supposedly we are looking for mercury, and mercury is up to 10. They consider it normal. Above 10, you know, it's abnormal, so we can do something about that. The problem with heavy metals is that our body doesn't store heavy metals in the blood. It's usually like lead. It's mostly in the bones. And the other metals in the tissues, like maybe liver, brain, kidney, et cetera, in the tissues. But they're not in the blood. So what we saw multiple times in medical problems, so the blood levels could be close to zero, and the actual burn in the body, it can be huge. And that's the first thing for detoxification. We want to make sure that we are doing the right thing, right? So what we do, we use a so-called provocation test. We check the mercury or heavy metals concentration before provocation. Then we give a provoking agent, which brings heavy metals out of the system into the blood. And then we check the concentration again. And by knowing the first, before concentration, before and after, and by knowing height and weight of the patient, we calculate the burn. That's what we do. And the burn is high, then we detoxify patient. And it's a lengthy process. I have to disappoint you. This is not possible to get rid of heavy metals altogether. And I have a lot of patients who come to me, and they were detoxified in other offices, and we check for the heavy metal burden is still high.
It's not possible. We have seen that. You are absolutely right, Dr. Kalantenko. You are absolutely right. It's difficult because, as you know, they are ionic structures, and they actually are able to attach to cell membranes, and it's very hard to pull out. But it certainly will bring that body burden down, so it's worth doing.
Of course, but you need to be consistent, because what I do, I think that the best way to approach this is on a regular basis. Like, I have an apartment, right? And I clean, or somebody cleans my apartment. But we cannot say that I clean apartment once, right, and it's going to be clean for the rest of my life. No, we clean apartment or house on the regular basis, right? We just don't do it once. We do it on a regular basis. That's the same thing for our body. We can't say that we clean our body once and that's it for the rest of our life. No, we can't do that. Another thing is that actually, which is very important, so the first step for detox is actually, it's not detoxifying, it's the stopping exposure.
Okay, so looking at where is this coming from?
Yeah, because unless we know where it is coming from, we can't do anything. I will give you another example. A girl came to my office with increased heavy metal burden. Okay, and we detoxified her, and guess what happened? Her level went up.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, went up. So it shouldn't have happened. So we started thinking about, you know, Why did it happen? And we couldn't figure out anything. And later on, while I tried to do that, and I was desperate, actually. And the girl said, you know, Doc, I think it's a bullet. And I said, what bullet? And she said, when I was a teenager, I was accidentally shot. And I have a bullet in my body. And that was it.
So interesting. So by pulling the heavy metals out, it might have actually drawn more metals from that bullet.
Exactly. Exactly. You're absolutely right. But I'm just trying to give you a sense of it, you know, just how unexpected it could be.
And individualized. So we're going to take a little break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We are speaking with our fascinating and knowledgeable doctor who is a guest today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. His name is Sergey Kalantenko. That's Kalitenko. You can go to his website where you can find out loads of information, how to get in touch, ask him a question, make an appointment, and that is www.kalantenko, that's kalitenko.com. And this show, along with all our shows, will be archived after today, so you can visit it listen to it again, download it, and there will be links directly to his website with his office phone numbers. And Dr. Kalatenko is a wonderful resource for our community. So many people call and say, where can I find a physician who is trained in these techniques? But Dr. Kalatenko is trained in conventional medicine as well. So you're going to get a really in-depth understanding about what's going on with you. And we'll be speaking with Dr. Kalatenko further when we come back right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the nutrient known as taurine.
Amino acids are chemical constituents that form the building blocks of protein in the body. The official definition of an amino acid is a compound which contains an amino group and a carboxylic acid. Taurine contains a sulfonic group instead, so is not a true amino acid, although it is often referred to as one. The intracellular concentration of taurine is 10 times that of any normal free amino acid.
Taurine was discovered in 1827, but the significance of taurine in nutrition was not realized until 1975, when the journal Science published a study showing that taurine-deficient cats suffered from retinal degeneration. In 1986, the Annual Review of Biochemistry reported that the amount of taurine present in mammalian milk depends on the species. Natural human mother's milk is rich in taurine, but cow's milk, except for the early milk known as colostrum, is taurine deficient. Pediatrics Journal in 1983 printed a study which outlined several of the biologically significant functions of taurine, and an effort was then made to fortify infant formula by adding taurine.
Some species of animals, such as cats, cannot synthesize taurine within their bodies, and so must receive it through their diets. Humans have a very limited ability to synthesize taurine, so adequate intake through diet and supplementation is important. The principal source of dietary taurine is meat of various types and shellfish. Even people ingesting sufficiently high levels of taurine may develop a deficiency due to the overgrowth of certain anaerobic intestinal microorganisms which consume taurine. Certain prescription drugs are known inhibitors of taurine uptake.
The Journal of Neurochemistry published a study in 1975 which showed that taurine concentrations are extremely high in the retina. In fact, the retina contains two binding proteins specific for taurine. Research has yet to determine exactly how taurine functions in the eye, but deficiency of taurine has been found to lead to the degeneration of photoreceptor cells. Continued studies on taurine have linked its presence to several biological functions, besides being a protector of the delicate tissues of the eye. Taurine helps to neutralize oxidizing agents caused by ionizing radiation. Taurine is present in high concentrations in the normal heart. It stimulates white blood cell motility and protects cell membranes from free radical damage. Taurine has proven useful in epileptics to reduce or control seizures. It helps modulate the transport of substances such as sodium, potassium, magnesium, copper, and iron across cell membranes. Additional research supports taurine's role in preventing gallstones.
So, as you can see, the nutrient taurine may be an important addition to your natural medicine chest.
And welcome back once again for more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We bring you The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z every Tuesday, 10 to 11 a.m. New York time. And what's wonderful about that is that you can listen to the archives anytime, 24/7. We archive on naturalnurse.com and prn.fm, so you can always find our past shows. And we'll be sending Dr. Kalatenko a link to his own show after today as well. We also have loads of classes, both on ground. Last week we did an herbal identification and medicine making workshop. That was at Hippocrates Health Institute. Tonight we're doing a CE broker certified class for nurses, midwives, massage therapists, acupuncturists, where they actually can get credit towards their degrees. And we have students there who don't have a degree, they will get a certification. Almost every single day we have a class going on, either online, such as career choices in natural health care. What could you do? Are you already a physician who would like to learn about things that our guest today, Dr. Kelentenko, is talking about? Or are you just starting out? Are you a retired person looking for something new to be involved in? Or a young person beginning your career and you'd like to have a focus in natural medicine as your career? Well, we do a full class in natural health career counseling and so much more information. You can check all that out at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. And today we are so happy to have our guest, Dr. Sergey Kalitenko. That's K-A-L-I-T-E-N-K-O, and you will find the link on our archives as well. He has offices in Great Neck and also Brooklyn in the New York area, and he is a board-certified physician in conventional medicine, but has evolved into being a holistic physician with specialties in functional medicine and anti-aging principles. So thank you so much for joining us today, Doctor.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me here, actually.
Now, let's talk for a minute about Naval Expo, and that's at navalexpo.com. I love Alex. And how are you involved in Naval Expo?
Well, I'm with Alex for many years, and I think Alex has a very he has an ability to pick up the right people. So basically, why I'm going there? Because I feel that the people who are around me in the audience or other lecturers, they have the same mind set up as I do, and it helps because it's very difficult to talk to people who don't understand you. But if you talk to people who understand you, that's a totally different issue. And also I go and attend other lectures, you know, so I can learn as well, because I'm not God. I don't know if you know that or not, but I'm not God. I don't know everything. So I'm trying to learn more and more, and if I have an opportunity, I learn from my patients, from other doctors, from the literature, and I do it. And that's why I enjoy Expo. It's a very nice place to go. I go to this show, I think, since 2005, something like that. So, you know, it's a very nice place. You know, it's very good doctors that are speaking over there. Also, excellent selection of lecturers, and the people who are coming for the Expo, they're very educated.
Yes, and so I suggest all of you listeners go to navalexpo.com, mm-hmm. and you can find out when the next Naval Expo is going to be in your area. They're usually twice every single year. I've been presenting there for, I don't know, over 10 years. And very inexpensive or free to go. There's lots of free tickets. No one is left out in the cold. The tickets are extremely inexpensive anyway.
Right.
So take advantage of having some of the highest level doctors in our area. As I said, you can come and meet Dr. Kalitenko. Go to his lecture. Shake his hand. Visit other doctors. And what he said is also true for me. Although I've been doing natural medicine since 1964, yes, that's with a six, still there is no end to what you can learn. So, yes, I present there, but I also am a student, and you can be too. Just go to navalexpo.com and join us at the next Naval Expo, and there's always one coming up soon. So thank you so much for that information. Now, we talked, Dr. Kalitenko, about the fact that you do conventional diagnostics as well as additional functional medicine diagnostics, which I think gives so much a better and more in-depth picture of the individual patient. But now let's talk about some of the therapeutics that you might use.
Well, just before we go into therapeutics, let me just small remark about conventional medicine.
Okay, please
do. Yeah, it was actually eye-opening, because when I'm a subscriber of the, one of the best medical journals in the United States. It's called the New England Journal of Medicine.
Right,
and
well,
when I was strictly doing conventional medicine, I was reading it and just trying to implement all the ideas and things what they were telling me. But as soon as I started realizing that functional medicine may be a better way to go, you know, I was still reading the same journal, New England Journal of Medicine, and when I started looking actually at the articles, I realized that I was missing a lot before. Because basically, that's, I'm telling you my opinion, not necessarily other doctors agree with me or other people agree with me, but most, like 90% of ideas I use in my practice comes from the journal, from proved studies, from that. Because basically, what they're saying over there, the same thing. Supposedly, we are talking about immune issues, about gut microbiome, you know. That's the same thing. It's the New England Journal of Medicine is talking about for years. It's nothing new. The thing is that if we are talking about conventional medicine, I think that the information in the mainstream journals, they're not. It's not used properly. And, you know, everything, almost everything I'm using in my practice for the functional medicine, the basic comes from there. It's
yes,
not
so what you're
you
saying, I think, is that you are doing good evidence-based medicine.
Right, but what
which
I'm trying
fully,
to say...
you know, vetted, and there's so much information about the fact that it's true. Yeah. I notice that when I lecture around the country on, mm-hmm. let's say, leaky gut syndrome, physicians mm-hmm. will come over and say, I don't believe in leaky gut syndrome. And I go, doctor, do you believe in intestinal permeability? And then they're like, this is not a belief or a religion. It is so well documented by thousands of studies linking intestinal permeability with every kind of inflammatory process. It's not a guess.
Well, who doesn't believe in gut issues, advise them to, I would advise them to go and read the New England Journal of Medicine.
It's you got
all,
it.
Everything is there. Everything is there.
That's
you know,
so
I don't
true.
Wanna, you know, I'm not a person who invents something. I'm not inventing some kind of weird stuff like leaky gut or something. It was not invented by me. It is the mainstream journals.
Yes,
but
true.
The thing is that unfortunately, what in my understanding, why this is a problem? Why is this not utilized? Because to supposedly we address a problem, we know that there is a problem, but it's not enough. The most important thing, what we do about it, the treatments.
That's right, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, and basically, see what I'm trying to tell every my patient that the test itself, it's nothing. What really means is how a physician interprets it and what is the action. That's why the same test can be seen by different doctors and they can, one doctor can do nothing, another doctor can do a lot of things. Let me give you an example.
Please.
Supposedly, you know about vitamin B12, right? So the normal in the United States is from 186 to 911, something like that. Okay.
You mean the values
in
on
Japan, it? In Japan, is about from 500 to 900. So if the patient comes to doctor's office with the B12 level of 300 to the United States, he is sent home. But if the same patient supposedly comes to the office in Japan, he's treated aggressively. That's basically the same thing. So the thing is, how do we interpret the information we have? And what do we do about it? I'm not saying that I'm on aggressive side, but if I believe that this number is not optimal, because people are not coming to me to treat abnormals most of the time, because they want to feel optimal. Now, that's why we have to use different standards to interpret the test. We are not looking for the numbers normal or abnormal. We are looking for optimal numbers. And another thing is very interesting. Everybody's talking about that. It's not only me, you know. What we calculate our numbers, it's actually the numbers from the sick population. And what bothers me the most is there are several, you know, islands on Earth where people live as thousands of years ago. Supposedly, I'm talking about, say, Kitava study. It's a very famous study. So basically what they did, they went over there and they found out there was no diabetes, no cancer, no high blood pressure, nothing like that. And they did the blood work over there. But I'm not aware of any publications about that. We know that they did it, but what are the normals? We don't know. That's why we have to guess. And that's what I'm trying to tell you is that when I see a blood work or I see another test, I try to figure out not what the normals are, or what is the optimal. And actually that what determines my treatments. Okay, so, and the treatments, what we offer is just depends on the situation. Depends on the situation. Sometimes I can say that, hey, I can't help, you need to go to surgery. And that's happened. You remember I started talking about the guy who came to me with the headaches? And we balanced him hormonally, we detoxified, nothing worked. And what happened was that he told me that he went to Hawaii for vacation and there was no headaches over there. So I immediately realized that if somebody has headaches in New York City and doesn't have headaches on Hawaii, that's allergic. And the most common reason for that is sinuses.
You mean as they move around, because it might be a particular plant that's there or not there or here.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. That what happened was that when we looked actually at the sinuses, we figured out this was clogged passages, and the guy went to surgery, and guess what? Headaches were gone. So that's extreme solution, of course. Not everybody requires it. That's, remember I told you about the girl who had bullet?
Yes, that was interesting.
She also needed surgery. Yeah, that's surgery. So the treatments could be different. Some people require IVs. Supposedly a patient comes with a heavy lead burden. And unfortunately, a lot of patients who have cancer, they have this issue. And the problem with lead is because it interferes with vitamin D metabolism. So as you know, vitamin D is crucial for immune system. So what we try to do, we try to first figure out what's going on with vitamin D in cancer patients. We try to figure out what's going on with lead. And like a lot of patients who have cancer, they have increased lead burden. So what we do, we detoxify. And the patients with cancer, we don't have any choice but to use IV therapy. And we use chelating agent. And we try to clean their bodies as soon as possible. But as I said, the first thing is to stop exposure. If exposure is not stopped, nothing will work.
Well, you're just going to build back up the problem. That makes sense.
Exactly, right. If the exposure is there, what can we do? And that's what we try to figure out. And unfortunately, the source of lead, it's not necessarily bullet. Bullet is kind of easy thing, but could be something we don't think of. There was an interesting case description in the New England Journal of Medicine. It was the heavy metal toxicity because the guy had a mug which was painted with different paints. It was very nice, but the paints contained a lot of lead. So whenever he sipped his tea from his mug, he was getting lead. Can you imagine that? So what I suggest my patients to look at the plates, mugs, and get rid of everything what might be suspicious.
Right, and that's a very old, known medical problem. Back in the time, I believe, of Hippocrates even, they had lead in their drinking modalities, and there was even a disease that was named, which we would call heavy metal toxicity. So it's certainly something that has been recognized.
Exactly.
Therese.
Actually, you're right. There is a theory that they say that the Roman Empire fell because of the very simple thing, because the water was coming through the lead pipes made from lead. And that's why they became developed lead toxicity. That's why the whole empire fell. I don't know if you're not, but
this is a new concept. The fact that you bring it up and it's considered out of mainstream is really actually silly if we understand and relate to science.
Yeah. And that sometimes it's very tricky because we really need to figure out the root cause.
Now, also, are you advising people to use a different diet? You must evaluate what they're eating as well.
Well, it depends. Look, you know, diet is very tricky, very tricky. And the reason for that is because that I'm telling you my opinion. Not every doctor will agree with me, but I think that we cannot really advise tell the patient anything about diet unless we know the status of his digestive system. Because the digestive system doesn't work, it doesn't really matter what kind of diet you eat. It's not going to be absorbed. And I have plenty of patients who have who come to my office and say, "Doc, hey, you know, I'm eating the best diet I can imagine. You know, I can suggest I'm gluten-free, I'm dairy-free, everything is good, and I still feel lousy. Why?" Well, that my patient not necessarily have all his digestive enzymes, and there is nothing to digest, even though he takes or she takes the eats the best food, organic, and everything is good. But if there is no digestive enzymes, what can he do? Nothing. Or there is a parasite sitting there. Or there is a bacterial overgrowth. Or there is a yeast. No. So it's a little bit more complicated than saying that this diet will work for everybody. No. Once again, it's my opinion. Not everybody will agree with that. But first, what we try to figure out, what is the really root cause? I hope you can't even imagine. As soon as I started checking digestive enzymes, a lot of people, they just don't have them. There's nothing, they can't digest even the best food in the world. So they need supplements, digestive enzymes. Or somebody doesn't have good bacteria. You know, it can be gluten-free food, but if there is no lactobacillus over there or no bifidobacteria or no E. coli, nothing can be done. Doesn't it simple? It just doesn't make sense to you? Because what we try to do, we try to fix everything we can. I can't say that I can fix everything. No, nobody can fix everything. But what we can do is to try to diagnose, and we are able to do that. We can figure out what's going on with the digestive enzymes. We can figure it out. Is there any significant inflammation, any allergies, what's going with the metabolism, bacterial overgrowth. The most important thing, we can culture it. Because I'm old-fashioned guy. As a nurse, you should know that the golden standard of diagnosing something is the bacterial infection is the culture.
Absolutely.
And that's what
we're going to take another little break, and when we come back, I want to focus on those special tests that you do that are really from mainstream medicine but have been lost and that you are still using in your practice, which makes it so outstanding. We're just going to hear from some shows right here on Progressive Radio Network, and you are listening to Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse, at naturalnurse.com, right here on Progressive Radio Network. We'll be right back with more.
PRN.FM, your station for progressive viewpoints on politics, economics, health, the environment, and a whole lot more. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Hi, this is Gerald Celente. If you want to stay ahead of the news and on top of the trends, join me every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on Progressive Radio Network for Trends This Week, where you can hear history before it happens.
Hi, everybody. I am Karen Hartglass, the host of It's All About Food. Join me every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, or catch all of my shows in the archives. You can find my archive programs at the Progressive Radio Network website, or you can call my personal archive phone number to hear the most recent 5 episodes of It's All About Food. Here's the number, 1-701-719-0885. Here it is again, 1-701-719-0885. Learn about how we can solve many of the world's problems today and do it deliciously here on It's All About Food.
Stay tuned for the best information on health and nutrition, current events, economics, the environment, and more on PRN.FM. the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome back to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z on Progressive Radio Network right here on PRN.FM. And we're here with our guest wrapping up our show today. Wonderful guest. If you missed part of this show, it's available on the archives. You need to listen to it again. For a full description of the work that Dr. Sergey Kalatenko is doing, and you can visit with him at an up-and-coming Naval Expo where he'll be giving a presentation. So his website is www.kalatenko, that's KALITENKO.com. He has offices in Great Neck, Long Island, and also Brooklyn, New York. So Dr. Kalatenko, you were telling us about the fact that if you suspect an infection, you actually culture it. And, you know, we don't see that done so much anymore.
Well, it is a tricky situation because it is highly dependent on the lab. Unfortunately, I hate to say that, but once again, not every doctor will agree with me, but I think that not every lab is created equal. That's why we use the best labs in the United States that can really culture it, because culture is a very difficult job. You need to be really careful. We need to collect the sample properly. We need to handle it properly. We have a lot of patience to let it grow, and they determine the sensitivity, but it has to be done. Because otherwise, how would we know what's going on? We need a culture for two reasons. First, we need to know what it is. And as soon as we have a culture, it's indisputable. You can say, that's I think, or I guess, it might be. No, it's culture, that's it. All right? And it gives a very big advantage.
That's definitive.
The second thing,
yes.
Yeah. And the second thing is that not all the time, but most of the time, the culture provides us with a sensitivity. I cannot say there is no 100% thing in medicine, but quite often we are able to determine which drug we can use or which modality we can use to treat this particular disease. And it happens all the time. Supposedly somebody has yeast, and they have multiple patients who come with yeast infection, and they say, Doc, what are you going to do? I used all the antibiotics, you know, the doctor gave me, nothing worked. And when we culture it, we realize that all the antibiotics that were given before, this particular yeast was resistant to those antibiotics, and it was useless to give. So
right,
in this
it probably
case,
made it worse because it can create
exactly,
resistant strains.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, in my understanding, once again, not everybody will agree with me, but in my understanding, treating without knowing, at least to try to figure out the sensitivity, it's not a good idea. Because actually, as you know, as you said, it can make it worse because it will perpetuate or increase the problems, and that's what I am concerned with. And unless we know what it is and what can we treat it with, I can't help a patient. And that's what we do. And we use the best labs in the United States for digestive system evaluation, for heavy metals toxicity, but the same thing.
And then you also use bioidentical hormones when appropriate.
Yes. Basically, I think that patient might benefit from bioidentical hormones. That's my personal preferences. You know, I can't say that that's absolutely bioidentical hormones are better than traditional or vice versa. You know, they have all their pluses and minuses. They have pros and cons. They have benefits and the problems. Because what I want to, I'm telling all my patients, that you don't think that bioidentical hormones are free of side effects. There is no such thing like a powerful medicine or powerful way to fix a problem without a side effect. And that's what we do. But what we do in terms of hormones, we have a special test that can determine what the patient's body is doing with bioidentical hormone or other hormone, whatever it is. And it's very, very important, because unless we know it, we don't really know what the bioidentical hormone is going to do in the patient's body. And that's what we do. Not everyone. I'm talking about estrogen. I can check all the hormones, but you know, the estrogen, we can figure out how it is metabolized, and it gives us a very big advantage. Why is that? Because if there is a problem with metabolism, at least we know the benchmark. We know where we are, and we try to fix it. And sometimes, you know, we can figure out, sometimes we use these traditional ways to fix the metabolism issue. Sometimes we just use a try-and-see approach and, you know, trials and errors. You know, I have a patient who responded somehow to B12 injections. Why? I don't know, but it worked.
You know? Right, even and though perhaps the number wasn't there, but you tried it. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
So you,
yeah.
Dr. Kolontenko, are doing what I consider good medicine, evidence-based medicine. You're not out tracking down wild things. They're all actually, as you pointed out so beautifully, within mainstream, well-respected medical journals. In my opinion, this should be standard of practice medicine, because you see less side effects, better results, more individualized, and really focused on finding the cure and allowing the patient to actually heal from the disease, not just cover up symptoms. So it's very exciting that you're in the New York area and available for patients to come in and see you. So I want to thank you so much for being our guest today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And you can give our audience just a parting piece of wisdom.
Piece of wisdom, be persistent. The most important thing is that to be persistent. Who is persistent? And he tries to fix the problem, he wins. Who
well,
is,
thank you so much. And
be,
thank you, listeners, for joining us. You can find us at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. Until
thank
next time, this is Ellen Kamai, hoping that you stay healthy.
You too. Thank you very much. Thank you.